So once again, we have a novel pshat in Asei Ritzai Nekir Ritzai Necha. Ki gam bedvarim gashmiim. He's saying that when a person eats or drinks or sleeps, yira, she a kavanase l'shamayim. When you eat, you should have kavana l'shem shamayim. He's saying pshat in the Mishnah. Asei Ritzai Nekir Ritzai Necha. You want to eat? So normally we say Asei Ritzai Nekir Ritzai Necha means there's a conflict. Is what you want, is what God wants. So be mevatel your desire for God's desire. That's not the way he's touching it. He's saying this is what you want. What you want, do it because it's his will. So that, you should eat, should have in mind the health of your body for serving God. Which is very hard when we eat all kinds of things that are either A, not necessarily healthy for our body, and B, excessive. So we have to figure that out. But in the ideal world, at least, he's saying, Ilu Shem Shemayim, Echem, Perivarivya, Gamkein. V'la Yechavin Lahanose, Klau, don't think about your pleasure at all. V'mhaya B'lef Shabalaya, no, Haya Reitzem Ahid. If you could do it without pleasure, you would want it. Alright, that's too hard, right? So the Pach is, Yechavin Gam Lahanose, the Gam Lahanose. He says, okay, so do it half for you and half for God. But at least have them both in mind.
Mitzvah to subvert your will to what Hashem wants,
right?
And eating a lot is
hidur
mitzvah, right?
As long as God wants you to, okay. I hear there's something called the Tainus Arivit. The Arivit is a sefer Bal Nefesh, and there's something that the Bal Mashava Bal Nefesh, and there's something called the Tainus Arivit. The Arivit says, okay, we're not on that level to do things Hashem Shemayim or to abstain from the pleasures of this world. The Ravid says you should take one thing and abstain from it. Take one food broccoli. And don't eat it like broccoli. Yeah, whatever
food
a good example.
Like.
I guess the food you like, yeah. The food you like, and maybe that's not healthful. And abstain from it so that you just train yourself to the ideal, even though you're not holding it the ideal. So big deal, you're not going to eat the seven layer cake, you're going to eat the marble cake anyway. But still, the Ravid says there's a value in restraining yourself for something. That's called the Tainus Arivit. Rabbi Yaina brings it one of his svarim.
The eating, not eat the whole thing. Drink half.
Or drink half. Okay, that's not what he says, but that would be another example of it. Yeah. Now, it seems to me that the Rambam disagrees with this. The Rambam, in Shmoneh Prakim, knows the question is if this is a desirable behavior. That a person should deprive himself of one of the pleasures of this world, just sort of practice restraining himself. The Rambam writes in the fourth parak of Shmoneh Parakim, his Yisoid, which he writes in Mishnah Torah as well, regarding what they call in English the golden mean, or the idea of not having excesses in any direction, in all modes of behavior. So that, for example, some people are spendthrifts, and some people are stingy. So the Rambam says, you gotta find the middle ground. The question is, where's the middle ground? Some people are excessively courageous, and some people are very reluctant to take a chance. Find the middle ground. Some people are shy, some people are very outgoing. Find the middle ground. In all areas, the Rambam says, except for haughtiness, where you should go to the extreme, but in all other areas, the Rambam says, find the middle ground. And he gives an example. And that has to do with enjoying the pleasures of this world. And the Rambam says that it's healthy to be in the middle. Enjoy the pleasures of the world in a measured way. That's what he says. His language is, if you will see a chacham, mechachmei ha'ilam, you can see a wise man, who's excessively restrictive in his behavior. He says you should know that he's doing it to correct something that's wrong. The Rambam says that if you find you're excessively A or B, excessively in one direction in any of these things, to correct it, if you have a metal that's bent, you want to straighten it out, you got to bend it the other way and then you get it to the middle. So the Rambam says you have someone who's too shy or somebody who's too stingy, or somebody is too much in one direction, he goes to the other excess. So The Rama says, if you'll see a wise man who's excessive in his restraint of the pleasure of this world, you should know that it's only a refuah, because he has to correct himself. Which means the Rambam holds that for a healthy person, there's no reason to restrain yourself from a pleasure in this world, which is a permitted pleasure and which a person enjoys in moderation. So that's the Rambam's approach. The Ravid's approach probably would be good for all of us who don't do what the Rambam says anyway. He says the Rambam's rules for healthy living are not practiced by too many people. I don't know that they were practiced by the Rambam himself. The Rambam writes, if you practice my advice, I guarantee you a long life without illness. And the Rambam himself lived, I think, to 69 years old. I think he passed away. He was 69, and he describes in one of his letters, he describes his daily schedule. He does not keep to his own advice, not because of desiring excessive pleasures, but because of the demands that his position placed upon him.
How would the Rambam's approach fit with the shiftless versus godless Adam, which they were extremes?
Shiftless and godless Adam, they were extremes. I don't know that it fits. I don't know in general that the Derech Musar fit any halacha book. But
he said the Rambam says.
The Bali Musar would say. Well, the Rambam says if you have an illness in Midas, you have to fix it. And they would say that we have to fix the world. The world is corrupt in Kiyum HaMidot. I guess that would be their approach. But anyway, this is an idea that a person should, if you can't do what Rav Chaim Volozhin is saying in everything, at least do it in something. Practice it in some area, try to practice a more L'shem Shemayim type of an approach. Another suggestion would be to what they call Shochad L'Satan. It's an expression that the Ramban coins, Shochad L'Satan, to bribe the evil inclination. So that there is an idea that bribe yourself to stay up late and learn by getting yourself a Danish or a donut to have while you stay up late. So that it's also L'Shem Shemayim. It's L'Shem Shemayim in a different way. It's something you enjoy. It's interesting, I had a former Talmud. He told me the following, which I thought, well, he wrote me a letter. I'm going to read it once. It's a Musar. He has an early morning Seder. And he and his Chavrusa have this agreement that if they get up early 5 days, then Friday they sleep late. So Friday, they learn early, quite early. And it's very admirable. And he wrote to me that it bugs him. He feels like a baby. He has to bribe himself by thinking of his Friday morning every day when he gets out of bed, at 4:30 or something. You know, he's got to, so it bothers him. I said, that's okay. You know, like, if you're managing to do it, your chavrusa is managing to do it as well, it's a fair enough bribe, don't you think? So that's another way of somebody on our level trying to use L'Shem Shemayim, the pleasures of this world, to try to find some area to sort of sheikh ad l'satan, bribe the satan and be able to do things in a better way. Then he says, V'chen kivan atana b'mishnah ha-kodemes. In the prior Mishnah Gimel, it said, have a zehirin berishus. The previous Mishnah said, have a zehirin berishus, which Mishnah Gimel, which simple pshat meant to be careful, to be wary of government officials. Have a zehirin berishus, he's teaching now, rishus meaning the things which are optional in a person's behavior. Have a zehirin berishus means to say, be mekadish yourself by limiting yourself in something where you have permission to do. And he starts in the middle, which is to have a mind for your own pleasure and for Ratzon Hashem at the same time.
So
And you work your way up to a level where you'll do it totally l'shem shemayim. If you start by at least incorporating the Ratzon Hashem into your will. So this is the idea of a person trying to work on his Ritzayis, on his will, on his desires, and in that way to become a better Eved Hashem. Okay, he moves on now to the next din of the Mishnah, which is Artifresh Minatzibor. Now here is, again, everything here is different. The simple meaning in Artifresh Minatzibor is you're going to make fights, don't be different. If you're different than everybody else, you're going to get into Lysis Gaida, do into disputes. Here's a different Mishnah. He says, Artifresh Minatzibor Mimili Da Alma, Bakashke Mimili Dishmaya. In matters of the world, and certainly in matters of heaven. That does not mean that if everyone else is stealing, you should steal as well. It means in areas where they have different customs, try to be part of a group. Why? In any group of Talmidei Chacham, you have some that are above you, right to be your Rebbe. Yeshmen Talmud, there's some that are below you, right to be your student. A Chavar, and some on your level, right to be a friend. Now we know, Chazal teaches us, Harbe Kabalti Mirabaisai, that a person can learn a lot from his rebellion, but actually more than that from his friends, and from his students even more than that. By being part of a group, you can have all the benefits. You can have the benefits of being part of a group that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, the benefits of people above you, who from whom you learn in the simple way of getting information, people below you from whom you gain by teaching, and people equal to you from whom you gain from the interaction. So he has all different pshat and altifresh menatzibor, that the yid has to be part of a group. Yid can't function without a group. Yid need chabura. And va'altamin ba'atzmecha, he said in the Mishnah, don't believe in yourself until the day of your death. I mean, he says, don't trust yourself. Learning yourself is not proper. And don't say, I'm never going to say anything wrong. If you learn yourself, you make mistakes. Because I'll say about people, Tamidei Chacham who learn Torah themselves, they become fools. It's interesting. I knew one elderly Talmid Chacham in Gan Eden today, who for reasons outside of his power, whatever his life circumstance was, he spent his life learning himself very much. At a certain point in his older life, I was able to interact with him to a certain degree. And I realized what Chazal say, mitapshim, within wisdom, there are ways of missing the boat. It's hard to explain except when you bump into someone who just doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Who has all the right information, but just sort of doesn't get it in putting the information together. You need other people in order to be able to learn properly. What?
Connecting the dots.
So you need that. You always need someone else. A person is not supposed to learn himself. There are those who argue that once Rashi is written, you can learn Gemara yourself because Rashi is your Chavrusa. Rashi helps you. Alright, that could be true, except that you can make a mistake in understanding Rashi as well. And then, Valtodines Chavercha, again, a unique chat. Valtodines Chavercha, don't judge your friend. Simple meaning is don't judge your friend. He says, Valtodines Chavercha, and never say something can't be, because it'll end up being. So he says it refers to learning. Ratzalaymer, until minim Chaver, if you're learning with a friend, don't say about something he says that that can't be. Why? Just be careful. Maybe he's right. Sometimes someone says something to you that sounds way off, and when you delve into the sugya properly, you see that he understood the sugya better than you, and then you'll see that it's possible. Part of the geshmak of a chavrusa is somebody who you fight with, who you disagree with. Chavrusa agrees with you all the time, isn't worth too much. Best Chavrusa, someone disagrees with you, and then you insist you're right, he insists he's right, and then you work it out, you see who's right. But if you have someone who just agrees with you all the time, that's not a useful Chavrusa. Rabbi Yechanan had Rish Lakish, who disagreed with him, Rish Lakish died, he couldn't be consoled. Even if he got a chavrusa that brought rise to what he said, he was unhappy. You need a chavrusa who is in contrast to you. And then hopefully if you're pursuing the truth rather than just being right for the sake of being right, you'll end up a better person for it.
Does that go for a Rebbe in a Talmud relationship?
It certainly does. One of the beautiful things about Torah is that sometimes the Talmud will be right. Torah is such that the Chazal have an expression that Mokim he nichuli rabbi silas gad elbay. Chizkiya said, my Rebbe's left me a place to become great. Because they had a kasha, they didn't have an answer. They left me a place to figure out an answer. Talmud can sometimes have a connection to a nekudah of Torah that you don't have, that a Rebbe doesn't have. And the Chazal say, you'll learn more from your Talmud than from anybody else. Okay, we'll continue Thursday night.